toward heaven. Amen. I'm glad that my soul's been fixed. And I'm glad that Jesus Christ fixed it. Amen. And I appreciate this church praying for us. We had three good meetings today. Nobody got saved. But I'm sure there were some men that are thinking about certain things in their life. This book and God's Word and God's Spirit has got a way of getting things done. Ain't that right?
Yes, sir.
And preachers, I appreciate you and everyone. I count myself the least here. I should be sitting down and listening to some of the others preach. But I am glad that God gives us the opportunity to do this from time to time in our own home church. Appreciate our pastor, Brother John, how he's helped me all these years. And appreciate you, Brother John. Love you and pray for you. And like you said, I pray for you often, but not as often as it should, probably. And but I'm grateful for a church that's supportive of me and grateful that I have your prayers. If you have your Holy Bibles with you tonight, that's your King James Bible. I'd like for you to turn with me, please, to the Gospel of Luke. Luke's Gospel, chapter number 12. I just have just three little simple thoughts. I'm a simple preacher, and Jesus was a simple preacher. If you really look at what he was talking to, now he could get very complex and very deep, but most of the time Jesus kept it right on the surface, and so to speak, where the children can reach the cookies. Amen. And we ought to preach as simple as Jesus preached, so it's not very complicated or difficult to understand. The Gospel of Luke. Chapter number 12. Jesus is speaking this parable. And I want you to listen to what it says in verse number 16. It says, "And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and goods." And verse 19, I guess, and 20 is what we'll be preaching out of. "And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." I like to preach just for a few minutes with the Lord being my helper. Brother Stanley, pray for me right quick if you don't mind. Yes. 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 Thank you. I'm going to try to preach tonight with the Lord being my helper on this subject, the farming fool. And what Jesus is talking about in this parable is a man. We see in verse number 16 that God gave him increase. In other words, this man did everything that was right, that was needed to prepare for the farming. He broke the ground, he plowed the ground, he put the seed in the ground. God brought forth sun, God brought forth water, and God provided for this man all the essentials to bring forth a great harvest. We also find that this man began to talk to the most important part about any of us that are in here tonight, and that is our soul. Our soul is the most important part about anybody sitting in this church tonight. And Jesus equated one man's soul to the wealth of the entire world. Jesus asked the question by saying, "What shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" So I say tonight, we ought to be fat in our soul and lean everywhere else. Amen. I believe we ought to be rich toward God in our soul and lean in every other part of our lives today. I'm glad tonight to report to the church that when Jesus Christ saved me, the night He saved me at 56 Dunlap Street in the Gainesville Mill of Gainesville, my soul has been fixed. Amen. My soul is prepped for heaven because I believed in Jesus Christ there that night. Amen. Well, I want to just look at a few things tonight. There's three things I want us to see. First of all, this man did everything right externally, but did nothing right internally. A lot of people are fixed up on the outside today. They look good, they smell good, they walk good, they act good, but on the inside, there's a rotten spot in there. And inside is that rotten spot of the lost, unregenerate soul that they carry around day by day. I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but you need to learn how to talk to your own soul. That is your soul. That is nobody else's soul. That is your soul. And David many times encouraged his own soul. David talked to his own self, but he put God in the equation when he was talking about his eternal soul. And so we need to work and look tonight on the condition of our soul. The Bible says that the description of this man, God called him a fool. That's the description of this man. Now, I've studied this out, and I have found out that the Word of God teaches that there's two kinds of fools in this world. There is a dead fool. There's the fool that has said in his heart, there is no God. That fool has no hope. He has no hope of ever getting into heaven till he comes back to the place with his soul with God that acknowledges God as the only one that can save his lost soul. There's a lot of dead fools today. They're walking around talking about that there is no God. And I believe, Brother Sam, what they're really saying is I hope there's no God because of the way that I'm living. The dead fool has said in his heart that there is no God. Then the Bible teaches me that there's a living fool. And I'll tell you the difference between a living fool. Brother John, a living fool knows that there's a God. He knows there's a heaven. He knows there's a judgment. He knows, friend of mine, that there is a God that's going to judge him one day. And he lives from day to day like there is no God. And he's a living fool. I want to ask you something today. When's the last time you sat down and had a good talk with the Lord and a good talk with yourself? And counseled with God about your soul and thanked God about your saved soul. About how wonderful it is to know God. See, there's a lot of people today that think Our communion is drinking wine and eating Jesus cookies. But that's not communion. Communion, friend of mine, is getting along with God and telling God how wonderful His Son is and how gracious His Son has been and how splendorous it is to have a saved soul and how wonderful it is to get on the other side of heaven, friend of mine. And when you start telling God how great and wonderful it is to be saved, God will begin to agree with you. You can have some communion. Amen? You can have some fellowship with God. Well, David said in Psalms 42, let me just read this. Psalms 42. David said, Psalms 42, verse 5, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquiet within me?" Here's what he's saying. "Hope thou in God." David's saying, why am I cast down? What I should be doing is hoping in God, serving God. Amen. David said, look what it says in verse 11. "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquiet within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him." Notice what it says in verse number 5 again. It says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul?" So the biggest part of you and the most important part of you is your soul. So why was the description of this man called a fool? Well, I want you to look with me in verse number 19. This man was doing everything right externally, but he left the most important thing out. And that was talking to his soul with honesty. That was being honest with God and with himself and his condition. And look what it says. See, in itself, there's nothing wrong with building bigger barns. I've heard preachers get up and say it's wrong to build bigger barns. He was greedy and all. There's nothing wrong with building bigger barns. When God gives you an increase, you're going to need a bigger house to store it in. There's nothing wrong in itself of building bigger barns. Because the fruit and the grain's got to be protected or it's a waste. Amen. There's nothing wrong with increasing the boundaries. There's nothing wrong with building bigger barns. But where this man made his mistake was that he spoke to his own soul and he was dishonest with his own soul and God. And he spoke to his soul without putting God in the equation. And God called him a fool. I didn't call him that. Jesus called him that. That came out of Jesus' mouth. He called him a fool. And he called him a fool because he left God out. Look what it says with me in verse 19. Here's what he said. "I will say unto my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years." Notice what it says. Am I reading that right? "And I will say unto my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Eat, drink." "Many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." And because he was speaking to his soul without God, friend of mine, being his Savior, God called him a fool. I read about a missionary that had a two-way sign on him somewhere, and I'm trying to think where it was. I was sitting here trying to think. But nevertheless, he had a two-way sign on. You ever seen these two-way signs with a board and with the strings on them? He walked by a bunch of young people, Brother John, and on the front of the sign, it said, "I'm a fool for Jesus' sake." And when he walked by a bunch of these young people, they looked at the sign and they laughed. They began to laugh. But it was a two-way sign. And when he walked by him on the back of the sign, it says, "Whose fool are you?" I believe that there's a lot of people, and it saddens my heart, who have been church indoctrinated, church brought up, friend of mine, in a good way, but have bypassed their soul, have bypassed the saving of their soul. They've taken care of everything on the outside, friend of mine. They've taken care of everything, friend of mine, externally. And you see, that's the thing about it. We don't know who's saved and who's not saved. Only God knows that. And only God is the one that can call you saved or call you a fool. But what I'm saying here tonight is this. Don't be fooled. Don't be deceived. When God comes on the inside of you, you'll know it. Your family will know it. Your wife will know it. Your children will know it. Your church, friend of mine, will know it. In the spirit realm, friend of mine, when you get saved, somebody else besides yourself is going to know it. There's a lot of people today, I believe this, and a lot of people don't like this, but I like this. I believe you can be lost and not know it, but you can't be saved and not know it. I believe that you can't have God living on the inside of you and you not know it. He's coming after a bride, isn't He? And the church is the bone of His bone, flesh of His flesh, the bride of His bosom. He's coming back, friend of mine, after His bride. And if you're married, you'll know it. And I'm saying it in a good way. Amen. In a good way, hon. Amen. Well, I kind of got a problem today with people who think that everything's okay because everything on the outside is worked out. No, friend, don't be fooled. Don't be fooled. That's one thing the devil, friend of mine, is good at mastering at is fooling people out of their own soul and causing people, friend of mine, to think because they do certain things and do it certain ways that somehow or another they're in favor with God. Hey, the only thing that brings me in favor tonight to God with a holy God tonight is a holy Son. Amen. And a holy Son, friend of mine, that shed His blood and gave His life a ransom for all at Calvary. Amen. And friend of mine, listen, there's nothing that I can do that would ever surprise God in any way. And there's no way that we can fool God. Hey, so there's no way that we ought to fool with God. Amen. We ought to be honest with our soul and honest with God tonight, church. And if we're not saved tonight, we ought to tell God we need Jesus to be our Savior. Before we're fooled right out of heaven, amen. I believe a lot of people have talked themselves right out of the kingdom of God because they've not taken care of the important part that Jesus said was so vital to man, the eternal part, the soul of the man must be saved. It must be washed. It must be born again. Please do not die in that state. Do not die without God being your Savior. Don't stand in front of God one day and God call you a fool. Description was he was a fool. Notice his destiny. The Bible says, verse 20, and God said unto him, thy fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. The destiny of that man is that he went to hell, because I don't read anywhere in there where he got right with God or wherever he got saved or where he made a decision and a choice about his own soul. He continued to talk to his soul and leaving God out of the equation of his own soul. And Jesus told him the destiny of you tonight will be that you will leave that body and that soul will be lost. You see, friend of mine, the destiny of that man is that man went to hell. And he went to hell, friend of mine, because he left God out of his soul. This night, Brother John, I was in a meeting three weeks ago. And I don't know why God impressed me to say this. And Brother Stanley knows who I'm talking about. God impressed me. And this young man was sitting there under conviction. I'm talking about Holy Ghost conviction. And he was weeping. And he was shaking.
And I said, I don't know why God's impressed me to say this, but I'll tell you this. This may be the last service that I ever get to preach. And this may be the last service you ever heard preached. And the Thursday before last, my wife and I went and looked at that young man's face in a coffin. The very young man that sat there and wept and shook died at the age of 37 years old. And he went out into eternity. And that will never be changed. Whether he went to heaven or hell, that's not up to me. I'm just telling you that tonight, this night might be the very last night that I preach. And this night might be the very last night that you can do business with God about your soul. I bet you, if God was going to require some things of us, Brother Stanley, tonight, we would do some business with God tonight. But see, we think that it's not going to happen to us. We always think of it being Uncle Tom or Aunt Ruby or whoever in our life. But I'm going to tell you one day, friend of mine, as time permits, death is going to come to us if we're not raptured, and He'll outwit us. Amen. And we'll leave that body, and that soul is the most important part, because that body is going back to dust. I wish, including myself, that I would start being rich toward God and rich toward the inside like I should be. That's where the wealth, the measure of the wealth is found in the Word of God and found in the Bible. Lay not your treasures upon things upon earth where moth and rust and thieves do break in and steal. But lay your treasures up in heaven. Amen. Where there is no thieves, there is no rust, there is no moths. Amen. And may I say to you tonight, church, the description of this man was a fool. The destiny of this man is that he went to hell. Now, I know that there's a lot of people tonight that try to put hell off as some type of a joke, and some people even tell other people to go there. But you, when you read in the Gospel of Luke about a man that lifted his eyes in hell, friend of mine, you'll find no joke. You'll find no laughing matter there, friend of mine. And I'm here to tell you, friend of mine, that hell is a real place. There is a real place where people burn and they weep and they wail and they gnash their teeth throughout the endless ages of eternity, and they can never recant, friend of mine, of what they've done by rejecting Jesus Christ. You see, a person doesn't go to hell for being wicked and mean and all the other things that we put so much state on. A person goes to hell because they reject Jesus Christ as being the Savior of their own soul. And their destination will end up in hell every time without Christ. Every time a person dies without Christ, they go to hell. I've been preaching for the last, 20 minutes? Some of you say it's been eternity. I say it's been about 20 minutes. People all over the world have died while I've been preaching. They found out these two things. What Jesus meant about heaven was true. And what Jesus meant about hell was also just as true. I can't bear to think of any of my loved ones dying and going to hell. I can't bear to think about somebody sliding off a pew and dying without God and going to hell. But what difference does it make of whether a man goes to hell from a bar stool or goes to hell from a church pew? Without Christ, his destiny is the same. I say, the Bible says we have an appointment that we're going to keep. There's many appointments that I've missed, Brother John. I've been late to in trucking business that I've been in. A lot of appointments that if you're late and you miss them, they pass you over. But I'm glad to report there's an appointment
that I'm going to keep, and I won't be a minute late,
and I won't be 1 minute early. It's appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. Amen. I'm glad that I won't be judged for my sins. Woo! If you, hey, listen, that's enough to get you shouting right there. Look, hey, I'm not going to be judged for my sins. My sins are gone. My sins are washed in the blood. My soul is fixed. But I will be accountable for my works on whether they've been done for Jesus tonight or whether they've been done for Jesus at any time in my life. And I will receive a just due reward if they were done for Him, or I will suffer loss if I didn't do it for Him. But either way, Jesus is a fair and righteous judge. I will get exactly what's coming to me one day from Him, and my destiny is heaven. I'm sealed for heaven. Amen. Hey, I've got peace that passes all understanding. When all of this world has gone crazy, and let me tell you, if you don't think this world's gone crazy, you're part of it. But this world has gone absolutely crazy. Amen. It is living a lie. It's in darkness. It's living without God. And I'm here to tell you, friend of mine, I can still go home tonight at Pex Road in Dahlonega, Georgia, there where I live, and I can pillar my head down at night, and I've got peace that passes all understanding because my soul has been fixed. Wonderful to be saved. Amen. It's the greatest thing that ever happened to any of us. We're saved by grace. For by grace are you saved, through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I have nothing to boast about, but I have somebody to boast on. Amen. His name is Jesus. He died for me yonder at Calvary. He said when He died for me, that means my sins were in the future. I hadn't even been born yet. But He still went to Calvary, and He still laid down His life, and He still died for me on a cross called Calvary. That means all of my sins, past, present, and future, have been dealt with by what Jesus did for me at Calvary, Brother Sam. I'm glad that my faith and my trust has been placed in what Jesus Christ did. You see, I don't get to go to heaven, and my destiny is not fixed because something that I've done. My destiny is fixed because of the work that Jesus Christ did for me. That's all been completed, and everybody that dies in the Lord has the same destiny. We go to a place that's called heaven. Amen. Wonderful, wonderful place. Looking forward to it every day of my life. Every day, each and every day, it's going in a little bit clearer for me about how much Jesus Christ really did love me and how much He really did care for me. The Bible says that when we were sinners, Christ died for us and commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The Bible says, who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. The Bible says, for He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. I'm saying tonight, church, the blessed gift that God has given us has been to fix our soul and our soul to be saved and set in the destiny of heaven. You see, men, hell was never made for man. It was made for the devil and his angels. Men end up in hell by rejecting Jesus Christ, and they go there as intruders. The description of a farmer: he was a fool. The destiny of the farmer is he's in hell. And lastly, I want you to look at the distribution of the farmer's riches.
It says in verse number 20, verse number 19, I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Notice he's talking to his soul now. Take thine ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? I want you to look at the distribution of this farmer's riches. I want you to understand that the very night or the very day that that farmer died, there was other people in line to stand and take the possession of his farm and of his barn and of his possessions. And I'm here to tell you, friend of mine, that God has given us certain gifts, certain talents. God has given us certain land, certain houses, certain things, and He's entrusted them with us. And God wants to be the first over all of that. And God has given us that for us to take care of. And friend of mine, to nourish and to give back to God and to thank God for what God has given us, friend of mine. But it's a fool that thinks that he made it on his own. It's a fool to think that he's got his house because of what he's did. Hey, I ain't got enough sense to have what I have. I know that God had to give it to me. But I know one day also that God's going to take it from me. And God is going to distribute it to somebody else in this world. Now, I'll tell you what, it'd be better for you to use what God's given you for God's glory than it would be for you to die without God and for God to give it to somebody else to see if they'll use it for His glory. But I want to tell you something, friend of mine. I've seen them, Brother John, you've seen them too. I've seen them fight at the funeral home when the guy wasn't even cold yet, Brother Stanley, over what part of the land he was going to get and how Papa said I could have his watch. And the guy wasn't even good and dead yet. He wasn't even cold yet, and they're already fighting over what was his. I don't know about you, church, but I ain't got too many stakes tied down in this world. I'm driving a 1982 Chrysler Cordova that's almost got 800,000 miles on it, and when I'm done with it, the Antichrist wants to drive it around, he can have it. Amen. It'll probably still be running through the tribulation too. Amen. Because I've had many tribulations with it. Amen. I don't have too many stakes tied down here, Brother John. I know that I'm going to leave it all, brother. And I'm going to leave it all behind. And all that's going to matter is the account that's in heaven. And what I did for the Lord Jesus Christ, friend of mine. What a privilege we have to win the five crowns that God has offered us. What a privilege we have tonight, church, to tell other people how wonderful it is to have their soul fixed, amen, and set for heaven. What a peace. Hey, what a wonderful, wonderful peace we can have tonight. But I say this as a warning in closing. Don't be fooled. Don't be deceived. Make sure your soul is fixed to heaven. The distribution of this farmer's riches, Jesus asked him, then who shall all these things be? The Bible is very explicit in telling the Christians that there is a separation. We all know that. But there's a lot of legalists that would make you think that reading the newspapers is sin, and a lot of legalists going on today that watch this and watch that is a sin. And I want to tell you something, friend of mine. The Bible is very explicit. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Amen. And all of this is going to pass away one day. All of this is going to leave us. All this is going on. And it's going to be put in somebody else's hand if death comes and gets us before the rapture.
for somebody else to use and somebody else to give God glory with. The farming fool took care of everything except what the Bible said to take care of. And that was his soul. And God, in return, called him a fool.